Hi, I'm Pastor Joel of Heart City Church, and I'm glad you've joined us as we continue our devotions in the letter of the Apostle James. We've been in chapter 4, where James gave us a remedy for our pride and our spiritual adultery. James wrote in verse 10, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you." Friends, we need to humble ourselves. Repent. Admit we're a mess. And James says, guess what? When you go low, you let grace flow. When we come to terms with the fact that we're in the pigsty, and we head home with a confession on our lips like the prodigal son in Luke 15, as we draw near to God, we discover an amazing thing. God draws near to us. We'll discover our Heavenly Father running up to wrap us in His loving arms, putting the royal robes back on us, and throwing us a party. Now, having seen James' remedy in verses 7 to 10, how should we view this warning that follows against slander and unrighteous judgment? James writes in verses 11 and 12, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, He who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor?" Why does James follow up his call to humility before God with this warning against slandering and judging others? Well, his question at the end, I think, makes it clear. James says, "Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are speaking evil of others? Who do you think you are to pass judgment on another?" That is not humility before God. We're acting like the older brother of Luke 15. Friends, James wants to teach us how to live as mature, humble Christians. And starting with these two verses, he's going to give us three clear examples of what lacking humility looks like, because we are prone to slip back into pride again and to think we've already arrived. James says, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers." And by this he means, do not slander. Do not seek to ruin a reputation, to belittle and cause others to look at someone negatively. We can see these verses as a continuation of the exhortations that began in verse 7. Verses 7 to 10 look Godward, but now verses 11 and 12 look manward. Our restored relationship with God ought to bring about a corresponding grace on the horizontal level with others. Particularly, we need to cease fault-finding in our fellow man. Our fellowship with God vertically should flow out horizontally to our neighbors. Notice how James uses the term brother three times, but he concludes with neighbor. Why the switch to neighbor, James? James is hoping you'll remember chapter 2, verse 8, where he said, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And James called it the royal law. Why is it the royal law, James? James says it's because it was given to us by my Lord and my half-brother Jesus. When Jesus was asked about the greatest command, Jesus said in Matthew 22, 37-39, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as yourself is a rule of Christ's church. You see, in the church, we are all co-equal family members. We don't look down on our prodigal brothers and sisters, for Jesus had to raise us all up. To slander another is actually to take an opposite stance against the grace that raised you up. You see, slander is a sin of ambition which seeks to promote oneself. It's the desire to dominate others instead of loving them as yourself. That's why James indicts us for having become judges of the law, because that is what you're due when you slander another. Because in one sense, think about it, we say that the law's command to love our neighbor is wrong. Thus we exalt ourselves, we raise ourselves above the law. In another sense, anyone who knows God's laws well enough to judge another by them also knows God's laws well enough to be judged by them. That is a scary thought. Think about it. When you violate the law you enforce, you are now entirely without excuse. if you want to receive mercy, you would do well to show others mercy. Because as James told us in chapter 2, verse 13, mercy triumphs over judgment. James says, if you've been given mercy before the true judge, you've actually enrolled yourself in God the Judge's grace program for your remaining time here on earth. And that program requires cutting out the pride nonsense, stop the slander, jettison the judgment, and remember who is the one who will judge all evil on the last day. And remember, friend, that He had all the facts on you, all the evil things you've ever thought, said, or did. And nonetheless, He ruled in your favor because in His love, He sent His Son to stand in your place, to take your judgment. And now those five bleeding wounds speak a good word for you. So why don't you and I do the same for others who are in need of grace? Remember who you are and who you belong to.